The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. I've been mentioning all month that this is anniversary month as we celebrate the completion of 70 years on the air. And our theme is grace, grace, and more grace. I want to begin today by paying special attention to some of the wonderful hymns that speak of the grace of God. Singing hymns is not something that a person just arbitrarily decided one day ought to be introduced into Christian worship, but we find much said about singing in God's Word. Of course, there's a great deal said about it in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, we look at the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So sometimes people are attracted to a particular psalm because of its tune, but we need to be especially interested in the words because we are teaching one another and we are praising God. We're going to begin today with that well-known hymn, and let's notice the words, "All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all." And here's reference to God's choice, "Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, a remnant weak and small, hail him who saves you, how? By his grace, and crown him Lord of all." Another hymn that says so many wonderful things about the grace of God is entitled, "Grace, 'Tis a Charming Sound," and then goes on to say, "Harmonious to the ear, heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the saints shall hear. Grace first contrived the way to save rebellious man, and all the steps that grace display, which drew the wondrous plan. Grace first inscribed my name in God's eternal book, 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb and all my sorrows took. And then in the last verse it says, grace all the work shall crown through everlasting days. It lays in heaven the topmost stone and well deserves his praise.
Grace
And when we're talking about grace, 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 and more grace, we immediately look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom grace is brought to us. An old hymn puts it like this, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know eternal life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. See how many references there is to grace in these hymns. Sometimes you're so familiar with it, you may just sing it and hardly pay attention to the meaning of the words. May we notice how grace permeates so many of the grand old hymns of the faith.
I know that my Redeemer lives. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
as we sing hymns that praise God and declare His greatness and His grace, we're worshiping Him and we're admonishing and teaching one another. One of the old hymns that expresses it so well, "Hail sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail matchless free eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place."
Hail sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail matchless free eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God that rules the sky, I fought with hand uplifted. I despise His rich abounding grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night and on the darkness more than light, madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But the seas
program in which we're talking about the hymns that speak of God's grace, we couldn't overlook Amazing Grace. I know we used a brief portion of it on the first Sunday this month, but we want to hear more of it today. This is one that is so well loved by God's people around the world. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. How wonderful are those words. How soul-cheering to think about the grace of God and indeed acknowledge it is amazing.
I'm fine.
So our theme for this 70th anniversary month has been grace, grace, and more grace. Through the years, we have emphasized the message of sovereign grace. But as you note in the introduction to our broadcast, we call it God's sovereign grace. All saving grace is God's grace, and it is our desire to exalt and praise His great name. He is identified in Scripture as the God of all grace. He's the God of electing grace, redeeming grace, calling grace, justifying grace, dying grace, and triumphant grace when the saints are glorified and with Him forever. I've had people ask me just what specifically is meant by sovereign grace. Well, for one thing, it meant to emphasize that grace is dispensed according to God's sovereign pleasure and cannot be obtained by good works or free will. In bringing the message of sovereign grace, we proclaim the fundamental doctrines connected with the theme. We preach what is referred to sometimes as the TULIP doctrine, the T for total depravity, U for unconditional election, L for limited atonement, which I prefer to call particular redemption, I for irresistible grace, and P for perseverance. But someone not familiar with these terms will still have questions. Obviously, we can't preach all of this out in one message, but just to give a brief summary, an overview, by total depravity, we believe the Scriptures teach that when Adam sinned, all his posterity sinned in him, and the fall was total. Man was not just injured, he was ruined. He's dead in trespasses and in sin and cannot recover himself. Only God's grace can recover him. Unconditional election means that before the foundation of the world, God made choice of a people, not based on any good that he saw in them. Once more, we see grace. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and what? Grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Limited atonement simply means that the atoning work of Christ was limited in its purpose. It was particular redemption because he died for a particular people. He said in John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. His work was a success. He died for those given to him by the Father, and he got what he paid for. Peter tells us we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and we are reminded there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When you're brought by grace to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have evidence you're one of the redeemed. Next, irresistible grace. This refers to the effectual call of the Spirit. There is a general call and a special call. Paul declared at Mars Hill that God commands all men everywhere to repent, but there is an effectual call by which the hard heart of the sinner is broken. This is the work of regeneration accomplished by the Holy Spirit. The unworthy sinner is made a new creation. Christ, the hope of glory, is formed in him. And finally, there is perseverance. The chosen of God, the redeemed by Christ, are kept by the power of God. They are preserved, and consequently, they persevere. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. While the doctrines of grace are theologically correct, our purpose in emphasizing them is not to line up to debate the Arminians who hold the opposite view. Our purpose is to proclaim the truth which honors God and lifts up the name of Jesus. We want always to be bringing the good news of the gospel, salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. What joy comes to a burdened sinner when he hears Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We then look at those comforting words in Luke chapter 4. Jesus went to the synagogue and read from Isaiah a prophecy describing his work. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. By nature, men do not feel their spiritual poverty. But when the Holy Spirit opens blind eyes for one to see that he is poor, he is in debt with nothing to pay, to this soul it is good news to know Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. Then think of those whose hearts are broken. Man's natural inclination is to pray like the Pharisee, saying, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. I've frequently talked with those who say, I'm just not all that bad. I think I'll be okay. I really have a good heart. But what a difference when the Holy Spirit brings about true conviction. The sinner is now brokenhearted because he now sees sin and recognizes that he has offended the holy God of heaven. He is now greatly grieved, not only because of what consequences he may be suffering, but because he has sinned against God. When he is brought to true repentance, he then comes like the publican, crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The convicted sinner knows, I am totally unworthy. I deserve nothing. So now the sweet tones of the gospel cheer his heart. He finds hope to hear that Jesus came to save the lost, to bless the poor, to bind up broken hearts. The hymn writer expressed it like this. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sounds to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. By his sufferings, death, and mercies, his compassion, blood, and pain, broken hearts and wounded spirits are at once made whole again. Oh, listen to his words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Isn't that amazing grace? That the Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, would say to you, come, come unto me. He further says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Coming to Jesus means to come believing on him. John 6:47, Jesus speaks, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John chapter 1, verse 14, we read, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Don't you love this message of grace? Jesus, our Savior, is full of grace. He never runs out of it. And when he gives grace for grace. He gives more grace. Spurgeon said, if you take Christ out of Christianity, Christianity is dead. If you remove grace out of the gospel is gone. So, by God's grace, we continue bringing you another message of God's sovereign grace.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praise.
I'm glad you've been with us today. If the program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. Our address is Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. If you get your letter in the mail by the end of this week and request it, we will send you the CD with the message, Grace, Grace, and More Grace. And the CD includes several hymns I believe you will enjoy. Till next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.
He breaks the power.